Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2 together. I've titled our message this morning, Thankful Christian Service. Thankful Christian Service. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your love for us, that we have the privilege of knowing you as we've been reminded in song this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you loved us, that you first loved us. And we pray, Lord, that you would take our life and you would use it for your honor and glory because we've been redeemed. How we pray this morning that your word would be clear, that it would work in our hearts, that you would use it for your glory, that your work would be accomplished, that we might be fully used of you in the life that you have given to us. And so, Lord, we pray that you would be exalted in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've had a wonderful week of meetings together, a concentrated time under the Word of God. And that is such a refreshing thing to each of God's people as we come under His Word, as we hear it in a more concentrated effort. The Lord can really do a great work, and He has done a good work in our midst as we've yielded different areas to the Lord. As we've faced conviction, hopefully our heart has responded to the truth that we've heard, that we know the areas that need to change or to grow in grace in. And the Lord's used His Spirit and His Word to do that work in our midst. But the question often comes as you follow a time of meetings, where do we go from here? As you usually spend time around God's Word, sometimes you can come away from that and think, now how do I cement those decisions? How do I put those decisions into practice? Sometimes we go to camp and we hear the Word of God preached about 15 times or something in the course of a week. And we come away from there and we're zealous for the Lord, and then it begins to drift maybe a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later. We make decisions at special meetings and then we're on fire for the Lord, and then it's just but a week or so later and those decisions begin to wane. We begin to grow cold and stagnant. We begin to drift back to where we were before we spent that time under God's Word. And so the question comes, where do we go from here? Well, this morning we're going to look at a few verses that should cause us to recognize that the Christian life is a daily walking with the Lord, that we take His truth and we implement it, and that the decisions that we've made for Him aren't just left at that service, but they are used in our life, that He wants God's people to walk in His ways, to follow with a lifelong pursuit of walking in truth. And as we come to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I think we find two wonderful verses that remind us that we should have thankful Christian service-filled lives. Let's look here at the beginning of chapter 12, verse 1. Paul writes, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. These verses are very affectionately drawn to our hearts as we think about walking in the ways of the Lord. And Paul here at the beginning of verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore. That word therefore, as we look at different points in Scripture, should always remind us to stop and to look back at the previous section. And this is almost a connector every time between the previous section and the section that the writer is writing about at that given point. Many of our New Testament books do that. They divide, and we find the word therefore, and it divides the doctrinal section of the book to the practical theology of that book, how we are to live out that truth. And so here in verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore. We need to understand a little bit of the context here for this to really impact our lives and how we should live for the Lord. And so here in the book of Romans, We have a couple of major themes that I want to share with us as we begin this morning. In chapters 1 through 3 in the book of Romans, we really see the development of the misery of our sin, that we're lost, we have no hope, there's total ruin in our life. Then in chapters 4 through 11, we see the great deliverance from sin. The deliverance from our ruin, the hope that is offered and found in Jesus Christ alone. As we come to chapter 12, it then connects us to how we should live out a thankful Christian life. What we should do in light of the fact of God's work in sending Jesus Christ and sparing us and rescuing us from that misery of sin that we were under. It's as if Paul is saying this: think about your life before Christ. Think of the utter hopelessness that you had. You were lost in your sin. Total ruin was the description of your life. And then God sent Christ and he rescued you from the misery of your sin. And as if we come to chapter 12 and Paul says, now do something with that. Go and live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's rescued us. He's reconciled us. He's put us in a relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And so the word therefore in chapter 12 should have great impact on us to think this is the logical and reasonable outgrowth of the life that has been rescued from sin. And Paul is now coming and he's saying, I urge you therefore, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a sacrifice unto the Lord. In fact, right before chapter 12, if you look back at chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, we see a crescendo of what Paul has been describing in the first 11 chapters. And he ends that section by this grand praise of what God has done. Notice verse 33 of chapter 11. Paul says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. This crescendo of praise, looking back at the reconciling work of Jesus Christ, the sparing and rescuing us from our sin, it culminates in this praise to the Lord. And so as we come to chapter 12, it is in that context that Paul then urges these believers and us as well to live out a thankful Christian life. That is the only reasonable response that believers should have to what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Psalm 50, verse 15, we almost capture the thought of this passage that we've looked at so far. It says, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. We call unto the Lord, we recognize our hopelessness. He delivers us, he reconciles us through Jesus Christ's work on the cross. And now we are consecrated unto glorifying the Lord. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, the connection between the doctrinal teaching, culminating in that crescendo of praise at the end of chapter 11, now chapter 12, let us then go forward to serve the Lord faithfully. Notice that word beseech there in verse 1. It really means to urge or to plead. It's the idea, though, of coming alongside of someone and encouraging them to follow the Savior. Paul is coming alongside his readers and along us as well, and he's saying, look at what God has done for us. Now let us, though, go then and serve the Lord faithfully. Let us walk together in the steps of the Lord. In fact, this picture of coming alongside of is the same picture of the Comforter in John chapter 14, where it speaks of the Holy Spirit coming and being that Comforter to come alongside of and to guide us and to lead us and to prick us through his work in our life. That brings us to a question. Who can we come alongside of and say, let's serve the Lord together. Each of us influence different people in our lives. Who are we coming alongside of and saying, let's serve the Lord together. Keep on the right path. Encourage that brother or sister through prayer. Encourage them through looking to the Lord and to His Word and memorizing Scripture together. Who can you influence to say, let's come alongside of and help that brother or sister in Christ? Who can you call to a walk that is closer with the Lord? Say, let's go and walk closer to the Lord. And we encourage them and we exhort them. Keep pointing them to the Savior. Encouraging them when they're facing times of difficulty. Who are you leading in this way? Is there someone in your life that the Lord's laid upon your heart to go and to encourage them? Maybe they just need somebody to pray with once a week, or in the morning you call them and you pray together on the phone. What a blessing that can be to encourage that brother or sister in Christ to keep looking to the Lord. It could be somebody that's across the world, maybe in California, that you pray with over the phone, and you're actually encouraging them at a great distance to keep on serving and following and looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul, in this context here in verse 1, he's saying, I beseech you, I'm coming alongside of, and I want to encourage you to keep looking to the Lord. Notice how he describes it. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. He's writing to believers. He's writing to those who are in Christ. He says, by the mercies of God. He's keeping us reminded of what we truly deserve and what we've been spared from. It's the mercy of God that saved us. It's the mercy of God that's going to help us to recognize that the only deliverer was Christ alone. Once again, he's looking back at chapters 1 through 11, the rescue from sin. And he's saying it was the great mercy of God that saved us from our doom to sin. But yet now it's the same mercy of God that helps us to walk in his ways and to look to him. The opposite trait of God's mercy is his wrath. That is what we deserve. We deserve the wrath of God. But in his great mercy, he spares us because of his love for us. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is by the mercies of God that Paul is coming alongside of, and he's saying, let's look to the Lord and live a thankful Christian life of service to him. How do we live specifically a consecrated daily life of service to Christ? How do we do that? Well, I believe Paul unfolds for us here three elements of living a consecrated life to the Lord, and we're going to spend the rest of our time looking at those together. The first element of living a consecrated life of service to the Lord is that we must offer our body to him. Notice verse 1. He says, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, you must present your bodies a living sacrifice. How do we do that? Well, the idea here is that we are to come into the presence of one. That we're to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, I'm willing and ready to be used of you however you see fit. The opposite would be to depart. Now we're coming into the presence of it. It's to come closer to the Lord. That you and I as believers can come to God's presence and we can draw as close to him as we want to. The great privilege of drawing closer to him. Is that our desire, that we would be used of the Lord because we desire to be in his presence, to know him, to come unto him and say, Lord, I'm willing and ready and available to be used of you. Notice he says that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. This is our physical bodies, not just a spiritual decision, that we are actually to present the use of our bodies to the Lord. And we're going to look at this very quickly through Scripture. Let's turn first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 speaks of presenting our physical bodies to the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a presenting of our body that we would live a holy, acceptable life unto the Lord. Let's turn back to Romans chapter 6. We'll see this as well. Romans chapter 6. He tells us here how we are to present our bodies in verse 12. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. In fact, he goes on in the passage to say that we're to offer up our lives as instruments for his glory. One more passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This idea of presenting our bodies to the Lord, verses 19 and 20. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. How do we practically present our bodies a living sacrifice? We have to say no to temptation. That's a practical evidence of presenting our bodies to the Lord, is that we would resist temptation, that we would say no to the flesh. We present our bodies by speaking kindness to others, by loving the unlovely, by enduring trials as we look to the Lord. It's a drawing closer to the Lord and presenting our bodies to be pure and holy to Him. We present our bodies by being an instrument of righteousness, to literally encourage other people and be used of the Lord to help others grow closer to the Lord. And notice how he describes it back in verse 1, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That is the picture here, that we, in contrast to the dead animals in the Old Testament that were offered for sacrifices, that we as believers are life. We are a living sacrifice unto the Lord, that we would be used of Him. We find in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, that the use of dead bodies as sacrifices are no longer in effect, that believers now are to present themselves completely to God, that they are the sacrifice unto Him. And notice his description. He says that we would be holy and acceptable unto God, that we would live a life of righteousness, that we would show holiness through our life, that we would show that we are walking close to him and his character is making a difference. It's changing who we are, and we're presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. But notice the end of verse 1. He says, this is your reasonable service. That word reasonable service, that phrase there, means literally a spiritual service. That it's the rational thinking, proper spiritual response to what God has done through Jesus Christ in saving us from our sin. It's as if Paul is saying, in light of all the riches we have in Christ, chapters 1 through 11, we've been spared from the misery of our sin. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's the only reasonable conclusion you could come to. That we've been created by our Heavenly Father. We've been redeemed by our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. That He has given us everything we need through His Spirit and His Word. It should be our natural response to say, Lord, you own me. I desire to give you my life. I want to serve you with everything that I have. Do you focus daily on what Christ has done for you? You know, when we do that, when we begin our day by reminding ourselves of what we've been rescued from and His work in our life, it changes the rest of the day. It should cause us to be thankful, to live a life of gratitude that day, that we have life, we've been redeemed, that we have purpose, that we can bring glory to the Lord. It's beyond comprehension to think not only that He rescues us, but we can actually bring glory to Him as we live that day for the Lord. It should cause us also to remember to engage our mind and our heart when we worship. He says, this is your reasonable service, to be thinking and to allow our hearts to be engaged, that this is what Christ has done for us. And that as I sing, I should sing from the heart out of thanksgiving to what God has done. That as I give, as I hear the word of God, as I speak to other believers, that it should all be in the framework of the fact that God has rescued me from my sin and my life should be a living sacrifice for Him. So the first element of living a life of service to the Lord is that we offer Him our body. Number two, we must offer Him our mind. Notice verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul goes on and he says here, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to fit into the mold of this world. It's the opposite of that rational spiritual service at the end of verse 1. As Paul is making this very clear in here in verse 2, don't be conformed to the world. Remember, you have that spiritual service that I talked about at the end of verse 1. And that world is going to seek to influence you to put it into a mold to fit. Do not be conformed. It's blatantly following without thinking. Maybe you make candy and use candy molds at your house, or you might use Jello. And as you pour that liquid in, it forms to the shape, maybe a star or a heart or some type of square. And when you take out that candy or take out that Jello, it will resemble that mold that it was sitting in, that candy was poured into. That's the picture Paul's saying. Don't allow your life to be conformed to this world, to fit the mold of this world's thinking, this world's philosophy, this world's outward appearance, this world's inner attitude. In all of those areas, the believer is to not be conformed to this world. It's the same Greek word found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. See, believers are to live inside out. We're to be transformed on the inside, and it reveals itself on the outside, not vice versa. That mold picture is the outside changing the inside. He says, no, the inner heart then changes the outward actions. You know, the world will constantly change, so the mold will look a little different. The thinking may adjust over time. But the Lord, His word, never change. We find it always faithful and true. And so the question comes, are you following the world's philosophy in your life? Are you seeking to fit into the mold of the world? What you wear, what you do, what you are entertained by? Are you following the world's thinking about authority, about purity? About the value of life, all of those things are far different to the world than they are to the believer. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 tells us, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That Satan dominates the philosophy of this world. And Paul is saying, do not be conformed to the philosophy of this world's system. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 make this clear as well. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So Paul makes this very clear warning here in verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. But he goes on and he instructs us, notice the second part, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word transformed there in verse 2 means to literally be metamorphosized, to be changed completely. We think of little caterpillars that change into butterflies. They're completely different. It's becoming something completely different than you once were. In chapters 1 through 11, describing that sinful condition and being reconciled through Jesus Christ means that we should live a life that is different than it was before. This word transformed is the same picture we see in Matthew 17 to describe the transfiguration of our Savior, to see the change that is completely different. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, "We are changed into the same image from glory to glory." The picture that we are changed through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So that brings us to a question. Can others see the visible change that's taken place in our lives? You know, we should be different than those around us who do not know Christ. They should look and say, there's something different about that person. There's something, I can't explain it, but there's a change that's taken place. And you can explain it through the work that God has done through Jesus Christ in your life. He says, be metamorphosized, be changed completely, that our life would look different. And he tells us how we change that picture. Notice verse 2 again. He says, by the renewing of your mind. It literally means to make new again. To make new again. How do we change our lives? It's through filling our minds and our hearts with the Word of God. To allow it to saturate our life and our thinking so that we are completely different than we were before Christ. Think of meditating on God's Word for minutes, hours, days, months, years. And that is true for many as we continue to walk in the Word of God and allow His Word to saturate our mind and our heart. Over the course of time, that should change who we are completely. It should look completely different than it did before Christ. It's a complete renovation of our minds, to make new again. Maybe you've done a little renovation at your house, and when you begin the project, you first tear out things, and then you build in the new things. And so in the Christian's life, maybe there are things that were in your life before Christ, anger, bitterness, gossip, hatred, and what are you going to do to replace them is the important emphasis Paul is getting at. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we would fill it by taking out the bad and putting in the Word of God in our minds and hearts. So the question comes, do you renew your mind daily? When we come to the Word of God and we meditate in it and we saturate our hearts and our minds in the Word of God, we will renew our minds. We will fill it with the Word of God. What are you doing daily to keep from being conformed to this world? We must renew our mind if we're going to resist being conformed to this world. How has God transformed your life in the last couple of weeks? What is an area that looks completely different than it did maybe a month ago? It's an evidence of His work in your life. He says we must offer our minds if we're going to live a Christian life of thankfulness in service to Him. Let's notice the third one very quickly. We must offer our body, our mind. Number three, we must offer our will to Him. Notice the end of verse 2. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The more we know our Lord, and the less we know of this world, the greater we're going to know the very specific will of God in our life. We know God's will to obey His word is very clear. To follow in His word and to obey and abide in Him, We know these things from Scripture, but the more we know of Him and the less we know of this world, the greater we're going to know that specific will of God in our life. We can't know the will of God if we're not obeying His Word, if we're not walking with Him, if we're not presenting our bodies a living sacrifice to Him, renewing our mind. If we're not doing that, we cannot know the will of God in our lives. But He says, no, after all of that is in place, that we would then prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He gives us three descriptions of this will. The word good there means profitable, to use the gifts that God has given us in a profitable way of service for Him. And the Lord may have each of that look completely different in different lives. There are different abilities and gifts that God gives to each of us. Are we using them for Him? Are we fulfilling what God has given to us? He says, secondly, what is good and what is acceptable? That means pleasing to God. Am I pleasing myself or am I pleasing Him? Am I seeking to please Him and His ways and walk in His truth? Or am I doing what I think is best? Am I relying on my own strength or my own wisdom? Notice the third description. He said, that is that which is perfect, means mature. It means that we would produce what God intends it to be. As we stay in His Word, as we yield to His Spirit, we then can become spiritually mature in the Lord. Paul, coming alongside of his readers, coming alongside of us, I beseech you, I'm coming alongside of, that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, that you would not be conformed to this world, but you would be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may present what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. A life of thankful Christian service. What God has done for us should motivate our heart daily. It should move us to brokenness daily. It should move us then to sacrifice our life daily and say, Lord, I want to be used of you. I want to come into your presence, that picture of drawing closer to Him. That should be our response in light of all that God has done for us. And so the question comes this morning, first of all, do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you in Christ? Have you repented of your sins and recognized that God sent Jesus Christ into the world, that He lived a perfect, sinless life? He died on the cross for your sin, that if you would repent and confess Him as Lord and accept Him into your heart, you would have eternal life. Do you know Him as your Savior? But then secondly, believer, where do we go from here? It's a daily life of Christian service to the Lord. Thankful Christian service. Have we just been serving out of duty? Are we really walking in His truth? Are we serving out of gratitude or out of duty? Are we joyfully serving Him in light of His work that He's accomplished for us? Does He have everything in our life, or does He only have part of our life? Are we going to Him daily that He might saturate our minds and our hearts with His Word, that we then can be used of the Lord? Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word that never changes. And Lord, what an admonition it is from Your Word this morning that we would live a life of thankful Christian service. Lord, far too often we begin to drift, we begin to wane. And Lord, we pray this morning that the work that You've begun in our hearts would continue daily as we seek Your face. Oh Lord, how we pray if there's one without Christ today that You would show them their lost condition, that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to rescue them. And oh Lord, that they would repent and come to a saving faith in Christ today, to have a relationship with You. But Lord, how we pray as believers that we would not lose sight of what You have done for us, that we would keep that in the forefront of our mind and our heart, that we then would have a life of service for You. Lord, what a joy to be a part of serving you, that you own us, that you've redeemed us, and how we pray this morning that you would use us for your glory. Help us to be mindful not to be conformed to this world. Help us, Lord, to give our bodies a living sacrifice unto you. Help us, Lord, to then know the perfect will of God in our lives. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.